welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals. That show where we talk about geeky stuff from last week. Geeky, weekly, geekly. As always, I'm your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom. Anywhere on the internet you want to find me. Once again, I am joined by the jubilant host, my co-host, the other host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey, it is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and we have all kinds of news from every part of Geekdom this week, it seems like.
Yeah, we are in a bunch of different sectors today, so we might as well jump on into it with some stuff that might not even be true. A lot of stuff that's just rumors. Steph, did you like Deadpool, the movie, not the character?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't love it as much as most people seem to, but I thought it was a solid movie.
Okay, well, maybe take your hater glasses off so we can talk about this good news.
Hey, I can appreciate good news even without loving the movie. Calm down.
Well, that's good, that's good. So there's a rumor going around.
What rumor is that?
They're thinking about putting Kerry Washington, or not putting her, but getting her into Deadpool 2.
Oh, nice.
A movie that is seems like it might come up. The link I had is gone, so maybe the rumor has been proven false, but just something floating around the movie mill, so hopefully we get to see Kerry Washington in some capacity in a superhero show, because yeah. She's pretty cool.
She is pretty cool, and I think I saw something about this rumor, actually, that she was in rumors to play Domino, who I think is traditionally a white character. She's not someone I know a ton about, but that would be cool.
Well, so. It seems like if Ryan Reynolds does have like any hand in it besides just acting, he seems to have the right ideas of like what's a good like of trying to be progressive. Even if he doesn't always hit the mark, he seems to at least value it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if they have Domino. I'm not sure what her relationship ever has been with Deadpool, but I suspect that if they do have her as Domino in the movie, they will not go to the Deadpool Cable romance that some people were hoping for.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. I do know Hollywood. not that having a black love interest is not still equally revolutionary, sadly. Like having
true
a heterosexual interracial love pairing is still somehow
well,
controversial.
Figures once Star Trek broke that door down, we were going to be good, but hey, you know, history repeats for bad reasons. But we also have the more revolutionary option, like, oh, you know, white guy and a black woman together, yeah, who cares? A white guy and another guy of some sort, who cares? But you know what we haven't seen in a superhero movie? Frickin' OT3, let's get it going.
Alright, let's do it.
Deadpool, Domino, Cable.
I mean, I guess of all of the movies to do it, that would be the one that would give the least, like, fucks about going there.
And they'd probably call attention to it and be like, oh, yeah, like, Deadpool could be like, oh, I see some people got mad on the internet. Shame, you should have made your own movie. In that Ryan Reynolds cheese-ass voice. And everyone would go nuts. And people would say they're not going to see it, and they'd go see it anyway. It'd be a top-grossing movie of that month. And people are like, boycott Deadpool by going to see it only once instead of twice. Okay, buddy.
That's yeah, not how all it works, right.
But. Speaking of other rumor mills, rumors in Hollywood, apparently WB is courting Mel Gibson to direct Suicide Squad 2 because they don't think they needed to succeed. I don't know.
I didn't see Suicide Squad, but the second Suicide Squad movie is supposed to be a Gotham City Sirens movie, aka a movie about Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and Poison Ivy. And so they should lean into a female director, period, like the same way they did for Wonder Woman. But of all of the male directors in the entire world, Mel Gibson?
They could have gone worse, Steph. We should be happy they didn't go worse, because come
like,
on, like...
They could have had, what, Zack Snyder? Like...
Well, Zack... I don't know. I don't really know about what Zack Snyder's attitudes on women are. I could easily research that. But we already know he's proven not to be able to make great movies, like, repeatedly. Oh, no, wait, he made Sucker Punch, didn't he?
Yeah, so we know he has terrible opinion, or terrible, he makes terrible women's movies.
He didn't even stick the landing of that having any, like, logic to it. Like, I feel like he's like, time to have, like, guns, blades, and babes. Time to objectify some women. And then did it in the weirdest way possible. There people are like, was this supposed to be cheesecake? Was he trying to make empowering women and had no idea how to do it? I left that theater confused.
Oh, you paid money for it. I just watched it at home.
Nah, I said it. I didn't go to the theater. I bought it on DVD. Because it looked so dope in the commercials. And, you know, if you just watch the fights, like the fake alternate reality fights, that would have been cool. Like, that would
have been cool. Like, they had some cool costuming moments. Like,
yeah.
The plot was garbage.
Like, I've seen so many girls dress up as, like, the Sucker Punch ladies, like, especially Baby Doll, but, like, the other ones, like, Sweet Pea, etc. So, like, I think women went in there, like, we could have had something cool, and just, like, but everything that wasn't what Zack Snyder's good at, Zack Snyder's awful at.
Do you know Oscar Isaac is in that movie?
Yeah.
It, like, horrifies me to think about that.
He was that dude looks different in every single movie he's ever in.
That's true.
Like, you stand in Poe Dameron next to the brothel owner, I guess?
Yeah.
And stand that person next to, like, the scientist from,
Ex Machina?
Ex Machina, you're like, that's not the same dude, like, that's the same dude. And then, like, the dude from X-Men, like, who was that bad guy? Apocalypse?
Oh, Apocalypse, yeah. Like,
Oscar Isaac is a chameleon.
No.
He's the Scarlett Johansson of the male actor world, except his movies are actually pretty good.
And he's a person of color.
Yeah, that's true.
So when he plays people of color, it's not racist.
But does he play people of color? It seems like he's always just there. Just
like a guy, yeah.
Yeah, it's always incidental, which is nice.
I don't know. But going back to Mel Gibson, the last movie I can remember him directing was Apocalypto, which was a mess, if I recall, which I did not see, but I heard, like, through the critic grapevine, heard was a mess. And The Passion of the Christ, like.
Well, okay, let's look at a few things. Plus, the Passion of the Christ directed well. I didn't watch it. I don't know if it was written well, but I'm just purely from, like, a director standpoint. Did he do an alright job?
I mean, the problem is that, like, honestly, it's been, I've seen it multiple times because I went to Catholic school, but it's been since, like, senior year of high school that I've seen it, because, like, it's rated R. We had to sign permission slips to see it because they, like, show you every graphic, like, cat of nine tails, like, stripe they lay on Jesus' back, like.
It seems a little much.
It is a little much, and it was actually considered kind of anti-Semitic at the time because it was like, yeah, those Jews, they sure did kill Jesus. Like,
when you release something and people are into, like, this is kind of anti-Semitic, like, that was what, like, 2004 that movie came out, or 7? Yeah, and people were like, come on, man. Like I said, we're going backwards in history, because, you know, anti-Semitism used to get you in hot water.
Yeah.
You know, the good old days when we actually cared about people, but, you know, whatever.
You know, whatever, yeah. But even if you don't look at that, like, ignoring that Mel Gibson is an unhinged and terrible person, if you just look at the kind of movies he makes, it doesn't make sense to have him direct a Gotham City Sirens movie. Like, he doesn't make, like, kitschy, funny superhero movies. He makes, like, James Cameron-style movies, like, huge, epic tales. That, like, Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto were both completely scripted in dead languages. Like, they don't speak English in those movies. Passion of the Christ is in Aramaic, like, ancient Hebrew, and Latin. And Apocalypto was in, like, the like, Aztec or Mayan language, or whatever language, or whatever culture it was set in. Like, it was in that language.
So this trick is basically, if I can just, if they don't speak English, people won't realize how shitty my writing is.
So, like, it just doesn't make sense as a completely like, objective directorial decision.
Yeah, like, where, you know, it sounds like, how Woody Allen's a bad dude, but, like, you could try to be that person, like, well, he's a really good, like, he makes good movies. It's like, well, we shouldn't let that go, but I see your point. But it sounds like Mel Gibson's a shitty dude, and isn't, like, making good enough movies. Like, because, for instance, like, what's his name? We were talking about him last week. Just, Buffy Man.
Joss.
Joss, yeah. He wouldn't be the greatest choice, but, like, you know, like, well, we know what we're getting when we put Joss in charge. We'll at least get something that's trying to be funny and misses the mark completely, but is at least trying to respect women. With Mel Gibson, you're like, I don't know if we're not going to get any of that. This is going to be bad.
Yeah.
We should, as long as we get a black Catwoman, though, I'll be marginally happier.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And Harley and Poison Ivy got a kiss at some point.
It's true.
Is Kate McKinnon going to be Poison Ivy?
I mean, given the fact that she's been cast as both, like, every character in and outside of SNL, like...
Give her all the money, yeah, okay.
Keep throwing money at Kate McKinnon.
And then we need just, you know, who would be a good Catwoman?
Janelle Monáe?
Maybe she could be cool. I don't know how old Catwoman's supposed to be.
Depends on your adaptation. She's probably
like Batman's age, right?
Yeah. Not necessarily. She could be probably anywhere between like 30 and 50, depending on where you wanted to play her.
Something if they actually like ballsed up and like, let's have like an older woman be in Hollywood again and like have her be Ben Affleck's age. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. But the only reason I thought of Janelle Monáe was because, like, looking, and obviously they haven't cast a Poison Ivy yet, but looking at Margot Robbie's, if they were to cast, like, people of her contemporary age.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah, I would love to have, like, an older woman play Catwoman. That would be amazing.
That is actually very strange. They have, like, an older Batman in this universe. That, like, but nobody else is older. So it throws, like, all the dynamics off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Joker is always supposed to be, like, roughly around Batman's age. I really hope that they can figure out what to do with Jared Leto. Like, as much as I don't like the dude, I feel like the Joker they went for could have worked if Suicide Squad would have worked in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I at least want to see what he was going to do to, like, whether it was going to be, I mean, it probably was going to be bad, but I would at least like, you know, for all the hype they gave him, because I didn't see the movie, but they're like, he was only in it for like 2 minutes. I'm like, that seems like a ripoff. And also, why'd they pay this dude so much money to put him in the movie for 2 minutes?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Well, screw all that. Also in the Batman space, I've heard some rumors, more rumors again, that Ben Affleck's going to be not directing anymore. He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, directing the Batman movie specifically, from what I understand. And I don't know whether it's because he thinks, he doesn't like the script, or he thinks it's going to be too much difficulty to both be Batman and direct himself as Batman at the same time, or whether he wants to, like, whether he feels he's gotten himself in deep in this DC movie nonsense, or what it is, but yeah, apparently he's not very interested in being the director of his own movie anymore, and I can't imagine why he would have wanted to be the director of his own movie to begin with. That seems like a lot of work for a movie of that scope.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe he had some different information or a different idea of what was going to happen. I mean, maybe the script's like, maybe he thought it was going to be a straightforward enough movie.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, someone delivered a script that was, like...
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Well, have you ever read the quote from Zack Snyder about what he thought was unrealistic about Batman Begins? Like, the first Chris Nolan Batman?
Yeah, but I forget. You want to hit me
with that real quick? Yeah, he said that his Batman would have been raped in that prison, because that's what's realistic to him.
That's such a weird point to make. Like, okay, that happens in prisons. Thanks, Zach. I'm glad that's where your mind goes. Thanks for...
It's such an frustrating and vaguely alarming statement, because like, even in this universe where there are superheroes and supervillains, we still have to have prison rape.
Like, it's wholly unnecessary. Like, that was what was unrealistic to you. Like, despite the fact that later on Batman just goes and whoops all kinds of ass. Like the fact that the Joker's plans come together, like defying probability. The fact that there's a dude in a cape flying around later in the franchise, that's fine. But like, no, Batman didn't get assaulted in prison. Like, so it's fake. Like, dude, if you want to headcanon that so bad, be my guest. That's your hang up, man. That's weird.
Yeah, but so I'm not sure entirely what all of it is about, but I don't know. Zack Snyder needs to relax, and I still have not seen a current DCU movie since Man of Steel, so
I haven't seen any of them, and none of them to me. And
I thought you saw Suicide Squad.
No, hell no. look, you can't judge a movie completely by everything, but like, if a trailer looks bad to a point, I'm just gonna just tap out on it. I was actually really excited. I was excited to see Suicide Squad. I was like, this is gonna be pretty good. And as I was getting closer, I was hearing more about it. I'm like, this isn't really sounding too good, you guys. And I saw some of the early reviews, and I'm like, I know critics are harsh, but this doesn't seem like critic bias. And then I saw like the Movie Bob reviews, like the Rotten Tomatoes scores, IMDb. I'm like, I'm not even going to waste my time, because the trailers look sketchy. I'm going to see Wonder Woman. That looks good so far, unless that starts. I'm going to support Wonder Woman regardless of if it looks bad. Even if it looks bad that I don't want
to buy someone else a ticket to go.
Yeah, if it looks super trash, I'll just buy a ticket and give it to somebody else. Congratulations. Like I'll buy like for like a friend's daughter or something, like go see a woman on screen, like congratulations, but I'm not seeing that trash if it looks like trash. And then Aquaman's gonna have like a hot dude, so I'll probably at least
stay close to the trailers. Like I have no feelings one way or another about Aquaman, but I do have a lot of feelings about the guy playing Aquaman, whose name has completely left my brain at this moment. I want to call him Khal Drogo. Yeah, Jason Momoa.
So apparently the villain's going to be Black Manta. and I don't know much about... Go ahead.
They cast The Rock as someone else. He's Black Adam.
The Black Manta. Like, I just heard the fan bros talking about it, and I was like, yo, this dude sounds like a fucking joke. But I remember Black Manta from the Justice League cartoon, because there was like just this black alien looking thing, and I didn't know he was like a black dude actually. So that's kind of interesting. I find it interesting that like one of the main bad guys to Aquaman is a black person.
Mm-hmm.
So like, they didn't rely on that stereotype that black people couldn't swim, but they didn't make the black man have black man in his name. So I mean, out of the frying pan, you know.
You win some, you lose some.
Look, man, at least he could swim. Presumably, I don't know shit about Aquaman. Maybe he couldn't swim.
His name is Manta, so presumably he's a water-based superhero or supervillain.
I mean, maybe it's a Lapis Lazuli situation where he just controls water and never needs to swim, but probably can. Anyway, what's this last thing? I don't know anything about this at all.
Oh, yeah, so the last thing is the only non-rumor section of this part of the podcast, which is that they, and this may or may not be news of the last week, it's possible that they announced it before then, but it's come to light to me this last week, so it's news for this week. and it is that they've finally announced the cast for the new Runaways show, which Marvel's doing with Hulu instead of Netflix this time.
Why?
Hulu wanted in on that sweet Marvel cash, I guess.
Okay.
They made Marvel a deal they couldn't refuse. I don't know. But the Runaways are a group of diverse teens whose parents are all supervillains. And upon discovering that their parents are supervillains, they run away and form a team, despite the fact that they have pretty much nothing in common except the fact that their parents are supervillains, and go on to fight evil. They occasionally interact with Cloak and Dagger, who have actually just gotten their own cast for their show, which I think might be a TV show rather than a streaming show. But they're an interesting crew of teens, different than the Young Avengers, And actually, The Runaways was the first Marvel trade comic that I ever bought, the first volume. I never finished reading the series, and it's one of the series that kind of got canceled midway through an arc, so it never, like, people were left on cliffhangers that never got resolved. But
yikes.
Yeah, but, and I think I might have all of them, but I've never sat down and read all of them all the way through, which is a failing on my part, but I have many books. But there, because of that, The Runaways have kind of a special place in my heart. And, like, there's a girl who has a psychic connection with a dinosaur on the team. There's a girl who...
Who's that? It's not...
Her name is Gert. Gert Gorks. Oh. And she has some kind of velociraptor-like dinosaur. It's not quite a velociraptor.
Dull dinosaur ain't having that.
Yeah. So, it's a smaller, more actual dinosaur rather than a giant, like, fiery-eyed dinosaur like Luna Lafayette's, but...
Lafayette? Okay.
But it's a cool series. Got some cool stuff, so I'm hoping that the Marvel and the Hulu people do right by it.
Yeah, it sounds kind of sketchy, like, hey, we have this show with these diverse teens. Yeah, put on that weird service. Don't put on Netflix.
Yeah, put on that other streaming service that not as many people use.
I mean, they're still gonna make bank. It really does.
That's just
me being salty because I'm not getting a Hulu subscription for that. I say that now.
You say that now, yeah. Well, I mean, I still don't think that there are any queer characters in the entire Marvel universe. So. Except for, like, one lady who was killed on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, it would be nice to finally have that in this show. There's a girl who is a lesbian, and her girlfriend is actually a gender-fluid shapeshifter. So,
there's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on there that could be good, and there's a lot going on there that they could fuck right up. So, we'll see.
I don't believe in Marvel to mess that up. Like, race bending, yeah, I'll give them that. Not casting enough women, I'll give them that. But screwing up, like, representation that they actually have in there, they seem to be competent at that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yo, but if Wonder Woman kisses a girl, though, in frickin' Wonder Woman movie, like, the people are gonna have some questions for Marvel, like, yo, how'd they get a female-led movie and a queer movie before y'all got either one of those?
They're like, you know how many of DC's sins we're about to forgive? Like,
none, but like...
None, yeah, actually.
It'll just make Marvel look worse. I still remember that thing, I think it was a couple E3s ago when South Park mentioned their new game that's coming out.
Uh-huh.
It's the sequel to Stick of Truth called Fractured, Butthole. Because, you know, you gotta make your butthole jokes.
Mm.
They were taking on their superhero personas from, like, when they had, like, Mysterio on and, like, the Coon and stuff. And, like, okay, guys, we gotta get our superhero stuff together so we can raise a bunch of money so we can have a movie franchise series. And Cartman's pretty much laying out how they're gonna all get their movies. And Token's like, well, I want a solo movie. He's like, no, we gotta do what Marvel did. We can't have the black person have a movie until, like, 8 years in. And, like, you might want to talk crap on South Park, but, like, and that wasn't, like, a very creative joke, but they had, like, this big platform, like, we're going to use part of our trailer to throw shade at Marvel, because, really, why is it taking you, 8 years at this point, almost 10 years, to have, like, a black-led one, or even, like, a black lead character that wasn't, like, someone's quirky black friend.
Mm-hmm.
Shrugs. Black Panther's going to be dope.
Yeah, less than a year, right?
Oh, man, it's, like, next year in February, right?
Yeah, next February.
Black History Month is going to be ridiculous. And it'll be cool to see, like, instead of, like, the go-to costume being, like, Harley or something, it might be, like, Adora Milaje. I don't know. I just said that hopefully. I don't believe it'll happen. I don't have that much faith. Anyway, you want to kick some music out?
Yeah, let's do some music.
Cool, and I will be right back.
got your knuckles back. So face the fact, I know I'm about to lace the track. So send a text, cause now I got biceps and pecs. Ever since the boom enhanced my physical specs. But now the pitiful, venomous, hateful, being built like a bull means all I hate to stay miserable. Downcast, ignorance fast, gotta know trash talks, tired and past. Still, they gotta go run a catchphrase. My crew's in attack phase, whack plays, smoke to put out over ashtrays. I'm a thug and an armadillo chameleon. One is armor, the one is in colors by the millions. We got a bee whose lyricism believe is stricken. We got a croc, does not mean that we're bullshitting. I'm that a kid, nah, but I ain't a kid, nah. When five combined to one, another hit, brah.
Yeah, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that break. Hope you enjoyed that music. As always, we'll have the information in the show notes so you can go support those artists. Give them a click, check out their beats, all that kind of cool stuff. Hey, we had to cut a section in the interest of taste. It just didn't pan out the way we needed it to, so this next transition is kind of weird, but, you know, just go with it. It'll be cool. Thanks. Rick and Morty are getting some more Funko Pops because the toys keep on coming. I did research this, but I forget which all ones are coming out.
I was gonna say, I don't even watch Rick and Morty, so I was leaning on you to actually carry this news item, and then you don't even know, man.
I mean, no, I know that it exists, and I did see it, but, you know, so many come out, it's hard to keep up with, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know there's gonna be, like, a Mr. Meeseeks, there's gonna be... Rick and Morty are going to have, like, weaponized versions. So, like, with weapons from some episode. I forget which one. Maybe the one where they had all the imaginary friends over. What else do we get here? Oh, there's another exclusive one. I don't see the difference. It might be just fuzzy again. There's Mr. Poopy Butthole with his cane. Mr. Meeseeks that's hurt and diseased or, like, tired. There's Bird Person, Squanchy, Snowball with his helmet. Another Mr. Meeseeks, and Mr. Poopy Butthole when he just got shot. But that's a Hot Topic exclusive.
So you have to go into a Hot Topic to get that.
Yeah, if you want a bloody Poopy Butthole, you have to go into a Hot Topic. And that's not even me making a joke. That's just something that's unfortunately true. And then there's a Meeseeks with a Meeseeks box. That's Barnes & Noble exclusive. So,
okay.
You know, you're going to have to go to some lengths for your collecting.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, I've got the inside hookup at Barnes & Noble, so if I actually watch Rick and Morty, I could hook you up.
But... yeah. Not only that, but they have a bunch of 5-inch action figures coming out, some plushies, a bunch of, like, the little mystery minis that you can get,
mm-hmm.
and the last set of Funko Pops are getting keychain variants. So apparently Funko is getting, like, a nice little partnership with Rick and Morty to be, like, their toy vendor, and they jumped on that strong.
Yeah. And it's a good pairing for Rick and Morty, because unlike some things that just don't translate to Funko Pop well, the art style of Rick and Morty already kind of has that.
For sure. Like, they already have those weird eyes.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, like, scrawny drawn and all that, so it's kind of nice. That should work out. What else we got today? Oh, more toy news.
Yeah.
Yo, you want some more gay toys? We got Tracer. A Nendoroid of Tracer.
Yes, it's super cute. Poseable.
Yeah.
I think it's got some replaceable features or, like, yes. Props.
Yeah, you can replace, normally, I think, different legs, so you can have different stances, sometimes different arms, you want to hold a gun, different, it's like, swappable faces, and, she has a version of, like, one can have her hair in her face or in her head, like, above it. And then it comes with her gun and a pulse bomb. So you can have all your poseable needs with the little chibi Tracer.
Super
vastly
cute.
Superior to the Funko Pop. Sorry, Funko.
Yeah, no, it is. It just is.
That's just how it goes.
That's
the fact. So, tell me about this next thing. Pokemon Go got an update. You excited?
Yeah, actually, I spent most of yesterday playing Pokemon Go, because they have released, I think, 80 Gen 2 Pokemon, like Johto Pokemon.
Let's go to Johto.
And these are Pokemon that I have barely any knowledge of. So, like, if there's,
nobody knows about Gen 2.
Like, if there's, like, if there's one that comes up that I recognize, I'm like, oh, I know that. but so far, I have been excited to catch them, regardless of the fact that I have no idea what they are, because it's been a long-ass time since I have caught a new Pokemon, and you get a 500 XP bonus for catching Pokemon that you haven't had before. So I leveled up, or I didn't level up yesterday, but I accumulated like 30,000 XP yesterday just from catching new Pokemon and evolving what I had, and got some interesting things. I don't love all of them. I caught like 90 Ipoms before I realized that Ipom isn't an evolvable.
Oh yeah, the little Pokemon. Monkey.
Yeah, little monkey. I was thinking maybe he would evolve into something and justify the fact that I've seen, like, 40,000 of them since yesterday, but there is no point to catching Ipoms except to, like...
Wait, really?
Well, I mean, if you can't evolve them, that once you've caught them, there's no further use for them.
No, I thought he evolved. Like, I'm positive
maybe he evolves in a Gen 2, or, like, Gen 3 or something, because I know there are a couple Pokemon that have... Gen 2.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't evolve until Gen 4. Okay.
Okay, because I was going to say, I know, for example, whatchamacallit, Zubat, it used to be 50 candies to evolve to Golbat, but now it's only 25, but that's because there is some mysterious third evolution now.
Crobat, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Crobat.
But, like, and, like, I have an Igglybuff that I... And, like, I don't want to evolve into a Jigglypuff because I already have a Jigglypuff and a Wigglytuff. And so,
what a stupid-ass naming convention.
Right?
But yeah, Crobat's pretty cool, actually.
It's got four wings. I saw in the outline of it.
Yeah, his mouth is a lot smaller than Golbat's. Like, far less creepy. Like, probably more damaging, but less creepy.
Have you ever
creepy.
Seen the picture of a Golbat with a closed mouth? Like a cursed image. It's like very strange.
Let me search that.
It's very weird to look at. Just feels wrong.
He's such a big bean. His old sprite for back in Red and Blue was terrible. I'm glad because his tongue was flying out and it looked awful, but him with his mouth closed is... That's not something you think you're ever going to see, but once you see it, he just looks like a Bulbasaur with a long-ass body.
but on top of adding these extra Pokemon, they're in the big change is they're catchable now. For a while, you were able to hatch Gen 2 Pokemon, but you couldn't, but they weren't, like, spawning, like, you couldn't catch them. But they've also updated some of the functionalities of the game, the way that the item carousel works, like to use like berries or different kinds of Pokeball while you're trying to catch them. The Pokemon can move around now while you're trying to catch them instead of just like hovering in one spot and like maybe jumping up and down out of the way. Like they'll shift from side to side, which is a pain in the ass. And there are different kinds of berries now, but I don't know what the difference between them is. I haven't looked it up yet, so. There's a nana berry and, like, a pineapple kind of berry, so.
That's very good.
Hey.
Low effort puns. Never gonna stop. What else we got? What else we got? We should have put this next to Tracer. You should hit this last news note for us.
Yeah, so they're finally, as with the Avatar series, Legend of Korra is going to be putting out, like, extended universe comic books. And so the comic, the first one, is coming out, I think, in June, which, coincidentally, is Pride Month.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to pick up pretty much right where the animated series left off, with, like, Korra and Asami coming back from their spirit world vacation. And being in a relationship and all that, and the series called Turf Wars, and it says the first series in the news listing about it, so hopefully there will be many more. but I'm looking forward to it. I haven't pre-ordered it yet because I only just got paid yet the other day, and I meant to, but I haven't yet, but I am going to. I'm excited for it.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah. Even if, like, even though it is at this point kind of not sidelined per se, but like more delved into in like comics and like official art and that kind of thing, like, it's still nice that they're going forward in developing their relationship and not just being like, yep, they're together at the end, goodbye.
Well, I feel like this is less of a spinoff and more of like the actual canon now.
Yeah.
Since there's no like nothing to compare it to, like, there's no more Koron TV, so.
Yeah, so it's not like a spinoff series or like a side series that doesn't actually match up with the canon of the show, like.
Yeah, like it's not a cop out.
Yeah.
It feels like. Well, that's cool. I hope everyone loves it. It's good to know that they're coming out with more stuff. Great. I think that just about wraps it up, so it's time for another break, right?
It sure is.
Cool. Yeah. Enjoy the music. See you soon.
I hope you like that music, as always. As Dom always says, that the intro is going to be in the show notes. Check out the artist, give them some love. And this brings us to our final section of the week, which is, as always, the shit we got this week section.
Yeah, we actually got shit for once.
Yeah, that's not like the last made like, three horrible weeks of dry spell of anti-capitalism, I guess. Like.
it's been a rough year.
Yeah, it's been a rough
year. As I look at the calendar and see that it's only been 19 days plus 31, so yeah, it's it's been 40 days, 50 days. Well, the bright side to everything being terrible is that time doesn't feel like it's slipping by that fast, so it feels like it's going to take longer to die now, so I guess that's that.
We're not both just racing towards the end of our lives.
Hashtag thanks Trump. Also, speaking of that, you know what sucks? Remember how there was thanks Obama that was sarcastic? I hate that we live in a country that if we made an ironic thanks Trump hashtag, then we get co-opted by people way quicker and be like, oh yeah, thanks Trump. This is great. Yeah. He took irony from us, Stephanie.
He did. He took, like, what is The Onion doing right now? Like, how do they keep
making
up?
Fun of the Grammys, like talking about non-political things.
They're like, we can't possibly keep up with the political section. We fired all our political writers because real life is far too like succeeded our wildest satire.
I feel like The Onion knew they were in trouble when Britain, you know, the country that invaded the whole entire rest of the world and put white people everywhere where they weren't, decided to say we don't want to be part of the EU anymore because we're getting invaded. And the Onion's like, pack it up. You can't beat that level of irony. Like, people already don't know what satire is, but we literally cannot satirize a move that ballsy. But
what can you do? Man. We can talk about stuff we got.
Yes, tell me about some stuff you got that ain't depressing.
Well, my big get of the week was... This is going to sound like a horrible corporate shill, but look... One of my favorite times of the year is the time of the year that you can get a damn shamrock shake at McDonald's.
It's so good.
They're so good.
And you know what's not good? There's not dairy in those.
there's a minimal amount of dairy in shamrock shakes. They're not actually vegan, but they're...
Well, my lactose intolerant ass can eat them just fine. Are they vegan?
They're not vegan. I used to think they were, and I looked it up, and there is some kind of animal product in a shamrock shake.
That's alarming because it's not milk. That's awful. That's disgusting. And I'm going to go get another one as soon as I can.
I love me those green shakes. My McDonald's gave me sprinkles on mine, which I was not expecting.
They're doing that now. It's wild. It's good.
You can get them mixed with like half chocolate, half shamrock shake, but I just want...
weirdo?
Like, if you're a person who likes a Thin Mint or a York peppermint patty or something, like, which are things I like. Mint chocolate chip ice cream, like, I enjoy those things, but I just wanted...
Steph. I like those things too. You know what else I like? I like vanilla ice cream. It's one of my favorite ice creams, but I don't get a damn vanilla frosty at Wendy's because I'm not a heathen.
Exactly. If you're going to get a damn shamrock shake, get a damn shamrock shake.
Yeah, you can have the chocolate mix one for dessert.
Yeah. The shamrock shake is your meal.
You know how many calories are in those? It's probably a meal.
It is. They're definitely a meal. Large milk. Actually, I don't know. When I worked at McDonald's, listeners, in my college years. And that was before, I worked there actually during the shift from the original milkshake sizes to the new, like, artsy milkshake sizes that come in, like, the clear cup with the whipped cream and stuff. And if the McCafe. And if you used to get a large milkshake that, like, the kind that came in, like, a large drink cup, that was, like, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 calories for the large milkshake. Large milkshake is smaller now, but I can't imagine it's significantly less caloric.
Oh, wow. That's... Yeah, that could...
So if you got, like, a Big Mac, a large fry, and a large chocolate shake, like, you were eating more than your daily recommended intake in one meal.
That's wild. And it's all empty calories, too, so you're not even going to be that full. Like, you're still going to be hungry.
Yeah, it's going to be like Chinese food, where, like, you eat until you feel like you're going to throw up, and then, like, half an hour later, you're like, okay, time to eat the leftovers.
That is so weird how, like, I wonder why that is. It's probably the rice. Because I think rice will do that to you, because it fills you up, but then it's just rice.
It's possible.
But authentic, like, yeah. I've never had authentic Chinese food before. To my knowledge. I'm sure it fills you up a little better.
Yeah. I mean, it's just different. There's still rice, like...
I mean, every nationality and country uses rice. It's the one thing we all agreed on. Like, hey, what's in that Asian dish? Rice. What's in that African dish? Rice. What's in that American dish? Capitalism, but also rice. In Greece, mostly.
Yeah, mostly Greece.
So the Shamrock Shakes are back, and they're good.
They're good, and you get anything else this week?
My girlfriend got me a Penn shirt.
That's cool.
That was pretty cool. The Penguins, it kind of looks like a jersey. And I wore it to a party yesterday, so... Nah, I'm better than everybody. No, that's a pretty cool shirt. I got that. It's nice.
It's long sleeve, right? Yeah. So you got it just in time for it to be, like, unseasonably warm out.
No, but it's thin, though, so, like...
Okay, it's not, like, a, like, jersey material.
No, it's good, because I have a jersey, and those get super warm, super
yeah, fast. I bet.
So it's nice to have, like, something in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. And there's also a Steven Universe episode this week. To check it out?
I did have a chance to check it out. It was heavy shit, alright? Like...
That show, man... They do this thing, and I've said it before, it feels like filler, but you feel impacted, and it's like a slice of life show, so it's not filler.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about that at length at all? Well, not length, but
not
like...
Not length, but like, it was the Rose one, right?
Yeah, so spoilers.
Okay, yeah, so spoilers.
To people, but,
but
for the rest of the episode, mostly, which is a few minutes.
Yeah, but it was about Steven... feeling like he just doesn't... He's trying to justify the Rose he's always been told about with all of the new things he's learned about Rose. And so he goes into Rose's room and, like, summons up, like, a projection of her. But
which was the thought of that. I was like, oh my god, this is...
This can't end well.
That's a terrifying concept. Show me my dead mom, who's also me, but So that hurt to watch in a weird way.
Yeah, but obviously the projection of Rose that he summons is only going to be what he wants her to be. She's not going to have any of the answers that she's based on his knowledge, so she doesn't have any of the answers that.
So I wonder about that. I was thinking the whole time, how true would that be for something created by Rose? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it did that thing that she does when she gets upset that it, like, shades her face away.
Uh-huh.
And there's no way... this is nitpicking in their favor, but I believe in the Crooniverse that they would keep a detail. Steven would have no way to know that she does that, that that's a common theme amongst her, like, shame moments, you know? And I feel like that room has so much of, like, her built in it that it could project a reasonably lifelike replication of her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I am leaning towards taking your side on that, but to play devil's advocate for a second, adjust my fedora. That's also like a common anime trope, to have like a character's eyes get shaded over when they get like serious or intense about something.
So yeah, that's true.
I don't know, and I can't remember if that's something that other characters do, that, like, Lapis or, like, some other... or that occurs to other characters whenever they get... Maybe. So I don't know whether it's, like, a show-wide trope or something Rose-specific.
Yeah, maybe. So. I think it might be I think Lapis did do it. And not... most of the gems don't have the kind of hair that would let them... yeah. Most of them have, like, spike hair. Or cube hair. But... that detail aside, I still believe that this theory holds some weight, that it could produce Rose to an extent. Mm-hmm. Like, not perfect, but enough that Steven could, like, I can help you, but you're asking the wrong questions, like, sort of deal. Uh-huh. Like, there's a level of knowledge that the room has, mm-hmm. that if you ask it the right questions, it will produce you the correct answers,
but you have to know the questions.
Yeah, I hope.
That could work.
I want Steven to be happy.
I think it'll mean more, though, if the people that are alive around him come clean about the stuff, rather than if he has to find it out himself from digging, because that's, like, what the problem has been to this point, has been that the gems have been coddling him and not telling him the darker sides of his mom.
Yes.
And so I think it'll mean more narratively if they're the ones who finally sit him down and say, like, it's like you're risking your life out here with the rest of us, you deserve to know exactly what happened.
Yeah, and he was like, yo, you just left me here to clean up your mess. I was like, oh damn.
Yeah.
Damn, that was I was like, dude, tell, like, say what you feel, man. Oh my god. And I think it's nice to see Steven break down, actually, because he's always, like, so optimistic and, like, I'm always happy and everything's great. And he's like, everything's not great. In fact, everything's pretty bad right now. So that was nice. I do find it interesting that when the show started, Rose was like this paragon of beauty and everything Rose did was right. Mm-hmm. She's this perfect person. And now it's like, well, Rose kind of looked down on humanity. Rose kind of killed some gems. Maybe it needed to happen, maybe it didn't. She just bubbled bismuth, like, pretty much put her in a cell. Like, Rose had some shit. And it's interesting that they introduced that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the beginning of the show, they didn't even, like, pan up to the picture on the wall.
Yeah, like, it was just kind of vaguely.
You just kind of, like, you were like, she was a constant presence that you had no knowledge about.
Yes, that's interesting as well. And then even in, like, I think that facade started to crack a little bit when they, like, showed the episode of, like, Greg trying to talk to Rose, and she's like, all humans, like, oh, you guys are hilarious. That's kind of speciesist.
Yeah.
It seems to be a gem theme. That's all right. And that episode from last week, I don't know if we mentioned it, the crystal replacements, that was a fun little episode. I like how they copied the extended intro. Like, the little thing where Steven runs behind the gems and then catches up and gets in front of them.
Uh-huh.
I like that Connie did that. That was a nice touch. That was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, from this episode. The freaking Charlie Brown reference.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
are they going to do that? Are they going to do that? And then she pulled the football back, and I was like, they went all the way there.
for no reason. Just to be like, Charles Schultz, we appreciate you. No, I hated that Lucy did that, and then Charlie Brown always got blamed for missing. I still hold that pain. the last thing, we played D&D today.
Yeah.
So any thoughts?
Well, it was our first time playing through any part of a campaign. I'm pretty sure I think the campaign that we're running is based on like one of the like the pre-built ones from the starter set.
But it's a pre-made.
I'm enjoying it so far. I'm still kind of getting a feel of my character and playing a half-elf bard, but I got to pretend to be a goblin today and gather intel, so that was fun.
I'm a rogue that has failed many perception checks.
Oh my god.
Observant rogue.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, what did I roll? My spell, my vicious mockery spell. I cast it twice today. I have a vicious mockery cantrip. I cast it twice. You're supposed to roll a d4 for damage. I got a 1 both times, so apparently I'm not very good at viciously mocking. And I was like trying to come up with like an actual insult to throw, and I was like, oh god, my brain is only providing your mama jokes. Like,
I like the theme of like all your insults just being terrible insults, but like not rude terrible, but like terrible as in like that wasn't very good, but they'd be like massive damage.
That would be a fun like thing to do if I could manage to roll a 4.
Yo, your mama's so fat, the elves think she's not actually an elf. 20 damage. Like, oh, it hurts, please stop. This is so bad. These are the worst insults.
You have stupid hair. Like,
the goblin was so turned away by your terrible joke that it fainted and is dead.
Yeah, well, I also have a spell that I haven't used yet, which is until I level up, I don't think I can use it, because I think I've already picked all of my first level spells. But I have a spell in waiting that is also a like a verbal spell that is a it causes the person you cast it on to laugh uncontrollably, and like basically like it discombobulates them, like they can't do anything but laugh at because of your spell. And I was like, I need to come up with like a whole passel of like really terrible like knock-knock jokes or something that I use to cast this spell.
Yeah, next time I play D&D, I'm going to be a bard. because sometimes you don't want to roleplay, you just want to be yourself in fantasy land. That's what I would be doing.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, did you enjoy yourself?
I did. It's interesting, you know, the pace is something to get used to. Every DM is different. I played it before once, like for about an hour or so. And it's nice to like have like a set up story. It's nice getting to know you all like through your role play, through our other players.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. I'm glad it's something we gave a shot to.
Yeah.
I wish the technology was a little bit more consistent, but hey, we can't really do anything about that. Yeah. We're playing remotely.
Yeah, listeners. We're in two countries and I think only two or three time zones, I think.
She's different time zones.
Yeah.
So three time zones.
Three time zones, two countries, two continents.
Yeah, because...
So...
But I mean...
Our DMs in Europe.
We can make the claim of four different states in America, since the two New York residents are in different parts of New York, but we'll just... We won't overload the stats, so only three states.
So yeah, but getting...
It's nice.
Getting five people simultaneously video chatting and maintaining that for 4 hours is a new technological challenge.
Yeah, but you would... So
you would think in the year 2017 it wouldn't be, but
I'm sure if we try to do it like on some weird technology, like I don't know, we can't even all FaceTime. We all can do Google Hangouts though. Score 1 for Android and Google.
Except my freaking webcam wouldn't turn on Google Hangouts.
That's your fault. That's not Google's fault. Don't you dare blame Google.
But yeah, so
that's everything. We did it.
We did it.
you all listen to another hour and a half of us. Or the counter's at an hour 15. It's not an hour 15 when you're listening to this. But, you know, we try to bring you the best content we can. And let's say we brought you the best content you've ever heard. Maybe we brought you the worst content and you want us to do better. Either way, or anything in between, you can find us in different places on the internet. So you can find us on Twitter at myself, me, Dom. You can find me at Brother Dom. That's anywhere on the internet, pretty much. It's BROTHADOM. Not brother. You won't find me. You can find Steph at Captain Steph. Or on Tumblr at as the Snow Queer, which is too bad that's not like an Overwatch reference. Maybe it's a Zarya reference. Who knows? She's a Snow Queer. You can find this podcast on Twitter at CharacterRev. It's two R's in the middle. Or at CharacterReveal.Simplecast.fm. You can also get us on Google Play Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, other places. And we both write for the Lady Geek Girl, our friend's blog. That's LadyGeekGirl.wordpress.com. It's an intersectional feminist blog. And we had a lot of cool stuff go up this week, right? You have anything specific?
I wrote a review of the musical Wicked, comparing it to current political climates. We've got a comic book review going up tomorrow. You've wrote a good post on Saturday.
Yeah, I dropped a post about how it's bad that over-sexualization is bad, but it's bad that we specifically over-sexualize black women and women of color and dark-skinned women compared to their fair-skinned counterparts. So if anyone's ever played Infamous 2, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I had this planned in the works before Anita Sarkeesian dropped her video that kind of talks about, like, tribalism and stuff like that. That gives women of color a bad rep. But we covered different points, so if you already watched that, if you're a fan of hers, you still have something to see over on our blog. And I think that's pretty much everything. You can also find us on Facebook. If you search Character Reveal, you'll know the logo. I think it's everything, right, Steph?
I think so.
Hey, well, listeners, thanks so much for joining us again. And we hope you enjoyed it. So we hope to see you again same time next week. And leave us feedback if you can. And until next time, see you later.